This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and if only you knew what the latest blunder we've done is.
Just call new call sign, Inside Out,
Inside
right?
Out, yep.
Okay.
It's Inside Out Dave.
For further information on that, check our YouTube stream.
Yep, check the stream. And if you like what you see, use that number they just advertised. Text us.
Text us and tell us. Anyway. Both of you listeners.
We are off the rails this morning, people.
All right. Let's get back on. Joining us is John Olanson from NASA.
NASA. Our buddies at NASA. Yeah. But hey, this is a big deal.
Oh, sure it is. I mean, it's going to be huge, literally.
Really?
How come you just didn't say, listen, you guys are done with that space station? Well, we'll borrow it. We'll just push it out to the moon and we'll use it some more.
There's a little bit of energy required to do that.
Yes,
but, you know,
just a little bit. Everybody start flapping their arms. Yeah.
Right. And what we're talking about is the space station Gateway that's going to be orbiting the moon.
That's correct.
That's a long way off.
It's a long way off. That's exactly right.
So this station is going to be purpose-built for a totally different purpose, I'm assuming, not just, I mean,
yeah, that,
the other space station is pure research, blah, blah, blah. You guys are a gas station.
We are not, actually.
Oops.
Not actually a gas station.
No.
No. No,
what?
We are much more.
Listen, I just traveled, 250,000 miles
than
and
a gas station.
Yeah. Oh, you're a rest stop.
We are a home away from home.
Oh,
that's,
you're the Motel 6.
That's what we are. So think about it. We are camping out around the moon,
right?
It's not your high-end hotel. We're camping around the moon. But we are putting together the capability for our astronauts to actually explore the entirety of the lunar surface with Gateway. It gives us access to the whole surface of the moon. It allows us to do science year-round, even when the crew is not there. It creates a point out in space around the moon where we can aggregate all sorts of different capabilities. So Gateway forms really the cornerstone of the entire Artemis mission.
Right.
So it is much more than a gas station, I guarantee.
Well, then I'm going to assume that it's going to have a bunch of docking stations on it.
It absolutely has a bunch of docking stations. Every module that we bring up typically has four associated with them, right? And they'll connect together almost like a Lego set, right? But
right.
Where you can dock all those additional pieces too. We have a set of core modules that will fly and create that gateway. But then after that, we have the ability to, like I said, aggregate all sorts of different capabilities out in the future.
How big is this station going to be? End.
30 cubits by 20 cubits. That's an old joke.
That's an old joke. So it's actually quite a bit smaller than the International Space Station you were referencing.
Okay.
So if you looked at ISS, about a 6-bedroom house type size.
Okay.
Will be about a studio apartment.
Okay.
So smaller.
Yeah, it's going to be a little tight.
Correct. Right. But we're going to have crew for about 30 days per year. So that's how long they'll be living there. We'll have 2 to 4 crew members at a time, where the ISS can have up to 12 crew members at a time, right? So you have many more that are on the ISS. They're also there for 6 months, 9 months a year on the International Space Station, and we won't be doing that, at least to begin with. But again, there's also a lot, I mentioned the energy right at the beginning. It takes a lot of energy to actually get pieces out into lunar orbit. And so that's part of why you end up with a smaller station. It's very, you have to be very precise with the amount of mass that you can send out there and get into orbit. So you have to be very efficient. And that's part of what we're doing, is building out an efficient, effective station that serves as that access to the lunar surface.
Well, I'm sure this is something they worked out on the ISS, though. As you add mass, how does that change your orbit and everything like that? Do you have to adjust every time you add more mass?
So you actually don't, once you're in orbit, right? So mm-hmm. we'll continue to add components out there. That in and of itself actually isn't going to change our orbit. It'll affect how we maintain our attitude.
Right.
And what attitudes we have to be in order to maintain our orbit. But the mass itself doesn't change our orbit.
Doesn't mess you up. Okay.
Correct.
It's already traveling at the same speed.
Correct. So, and in order to get out there to dock it. That's exactly right.
So you're going to, part of this thing has got to be stores of provisions, of fuel, of everything needed to do these lunar missions.
So what you end up with is a bunch of different approaches for how you're going to have fuel and how you're going to have other logistics. A part of Gateway is a logistics module. capability. And we actually have SpaceX on contract right now to provide that logistics service to us. In the future, the Japanese will also be providing, be a logistics provider. They'll have a carrier.
Will be smaller and cheaper. No, just kidding. So, I mean, that's something to even plan.
That's exactly right. So from the beginning, we have to build in planning for logistics, for stowage, for how we're going to move things around on the station. What food does the crew need? How much oxygen and nitrogen do we have to fly up? We have all of that planning and work already.
Now, I don't know if this is your purview, but the lander modules, will they be reusable?
So there's the potential for lander modules to be reusable. And you're right, I don't work on the landers. But together, we're working with the lander program to bring all of Artemis together. To begin with, the lander designs will demonstrate a single-use capability, but they have an eye towards reusability, and that's part of where Gateway provides value, is the ability to go up and down from the surface.
Well, and something that's never been done before is
correct.
In-space refueling.
So there's been aspects of in-space refueling.
Okay.
We actually refuel the International Space Station.
Okay.
Right? But it's a very difficult thing to do.
Well, there's no gravity to help you move fuel.
Exactly. So it's all pressure. It's all what valving you have. And you have to really control the processes associated with refueling. And the different fuels, it operates differently. Right? So we have a lot, actually, of experimentation, technology development that we're doing on refueling itself. And for Gateway, Europe is actually providing a refueling module for Gateway so that we can extend our life beyond the 15 years that we have planned.
Good, good. What about micrometeoroid exposure? They should have tons of data about that from this ISS.
So that is absolutely true. We have a bunch of data from ISS, but the environment for ISS is very different. ISS flies just about 250 miles above the Earth's surface, so it's still very much affected by the environment around Earth, the magnetosphere, everything else associated with Earth. There's also a lot of orbital debris that ISS has to deal with that's not necessarily the same out in lunar orbit. But micrometeoroid is absolutely a concern. We design in protection for all of our elements, not just Gateway, but for all of our elements to be able to withstand micrometeoroid impacts, as well as continually assessing what is the environment out in orbit around the moon and the surface as well.
Well, right? Let's not trash it up with a bunch of pieces of our spacecraft now.
Well, yes. You know, the other thing, too, solar wind. That's pretty nasty stuff, too. A lot of radiation coming off of the sun.
So that's a great point. Great point. We have a ton of solar weather radiation that we have to understand and mitigate. So I will tell you, when we launched the first elements of Gateway, they're being built here in the U.S. We have a power propulsion element being built by Maxar. We have a habitation logistics outpost being built by Northrop. Those two elements will be combined down at KSC. They'll launch on a SpaceX Falcon Heavy in a couple years, right? So those are the first elements we launch. They will launch with three experiments, all related to solar weather and radiation, both external to the vehicle as well as inside the vehicle.
Well, that's darn good because, that's kind of they never talked about it, but the Apollo astronauts did see, like, streaks and stuff in their vision when they were hit by high-energy particles.
I don't have the history on the medical, what the Apollo astronauts saw, but I will tell you that the radiation field is definitely a different field, and it is one we have to spend time understanding and protecting our crews from. I would add, it's also we need protection for our avionics, all of our electronics, mm-hmm. and how they work in those environments as well.
Now, is this station going to be orbiting the moon constantly, or will it be
in GOC? No, only on Wednesdays.
Oh, shut up.
The rest of the week, they put it away.
We park it?
Yeah.
No, no.
Turn it off. Don't leave any lights on when you leave.
Get away. Tommy, where are you? No. No.
It's the shirt.
I'm curious. Yeah,
yeah, really. It is.
I was just curious is if it's going to be continually orbiting like the ISS does to Earth, or if you're going to park it in a geosync orbit.
So it's not geosync. It will be an orbit around the moon. It's called a near rectilinear halo orbit.
Wow, that's a lot of big words.
That's a lot of big words. Exactly right. But fundamentally what it means is it's going to be an orbit around the poles of the moon. So we'll go over the North Pole within about 1,000 to 1,500 kilometers. And then we'll actually, on the southern side, we'll go all the way out to 70,000 kilometers.
Oh, so it's an elliptical orbit.
It's a very elliptical orbit. It takes about 6.5 days to complete an orbit.
Wow.
But it's not necessarily a stable orbit, but it's a very low fuel driven
orbit. Okay, I was
going
to ask you why elliptical.
Exactly right, right? But it also gives us access, like I was saying, to the entire surface of the moon. And the South Pole is what we're really interested in studying right now. So that gives us direct access to the South Pole, which is incredibly important for
us. They think there's frozen water, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So we got to get those landers working, get down to the South Pole.
Okay, hurry up, guys. Come on.
we should have done this 20 years ago.
You know, I just want to know how they're going to empty the toilets. Somebody's got to think of this stuff.
So we work through all of the different aspects, how to deal with trash, mm-hmm. right? How to deal with all of those things. You have humans living there. We have to be able to scrub the air.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. We have to do all of those things. So life support, absolutely a big deal. For Gateway, I'll tell you that Japan is actually providing a lot of our life support.
Very good.
And it all says on the side of it, it says Honda.
Yeah, right. Okay. We've been speaking with John Olinson of NASA about the Gateway Space Station, which we will hope to see something flying in...
What, 2 years?
In a couple of years.
That's
in a couple
amazing.
Years, we'll be getting out there.
All right.
Sweet.
This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is YAA Radio.